first reading can be found on page 1076. It's John chapter 10. John 10, page 1076, starting at the first verse. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Now, if you turn with me to Psalm 118, that's on page 617. Psalm 118, and I'm starting at verse 19. "Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation." Amen.
Whenever we look at what Jesus says, we should always, or often, try and look at the Psalms as well. Because Jesus quoted the Psalms more than all the other books in the Bible put together. And his teaching is often based in the Psalms. So if we see what he's saying and look at the Psalms as well, we get a rounder picture, a bigger picture of what he is saying. And that's what I'm going to try and hope to do today as we look at Jesus when he said, "I am the gate." Let's just bow our heads and pray that God would help us understand his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that so many times you have encouraged us and challenged us through your word. And Lord, in your mercy, we pray that you would do that again today. That as we look at what you have said, Jesus, we might understand it more. We might grow in our love for who you are and for what you have done. Amen. Amen. So am I meant to just kind of nod at the people at the back? And yeah, great, fantastic. So I'm going to nod. We need the slide and a couple of slides on. I think there's a picture of a sheep. Wonderful, thank you. So at the beginning of November, just before Christmas, there was an article on the BBC News that Cambridge University had trained sheep to recognize faces. And they did this with several well-known faces. One of them was Barack Obama, and the sheep came into the, I don't know what it is, it looks like a cell, doesn't it? Anyway, the sheep came in, and they could choose Barack Obama's face or another face. And they always chose Barack Obama. Good sheep. Okay. And they've also shown at Cambridge University that sheep can recognize human handlers' voices that they knew. Well, we should turn to Cambridge University, great as they are, and say that that is not all that surprising because Jesus has told us this 2,000 years ago. And if we look at John chapter 10, we see in verse 3, the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out on his own, he goes ahead of them, and they follow him because they recognize his voice. And in the reading that Elaine brought to us, we have a really interesting claim. Jesus says, "I am the gate." And he says it twice to make sure we don't miss it. In verse 7, he says, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep." And then repeats it a couple of verses later in verse 9. "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." So I wonder what kind of gate you think of. A 5-bar farmer's gate, maybe, if you're from rural Suffolk. Maybe the gate to your garden. Maybe a kind of electric, secure, grand gate. When Jesus says, "I am the gate," what kind of gate do you think of? You don't have to tell anybody, but just think in your mind. And I'm going to show you the kind of gate it is. Because when Jesus was claiming to be the gate, that sounds a bit strange to us, doesn't it? A bit weird, okay? But that was not strange to his listeners. Because sheep in Israel were kept in pens built of stone, very similar to this one. It's not a wonderful picture, but it's in the Lake District. And they've built a protection for trees in the Lake District out of dry stone walls that we all know are very, very common in the north of England and in the Lake District. And if you can picture it, sheep in Israel would have been kept in pens like this, only obviously much bigger. Okay, so you picture a stone wall going around, probably the whole size of the stage, maybe even bigger than that. And instead of having trees inside it, the sheep would be inside it. But there would only be a very small gap, a very small gateway. The gateway, the size of a sheep. So you can picture the stone wall going around and a small gateway here. And what shepherds did at night, and I'm not going to do it because the microphone will fall off, but they actually laid down in front of the gap. They became the gate. So when Jesus said, "I am the gate," people would have thought, "Oh, yes, of course, that's what shepherds do. They are the gate." And of course, that means, as a gate, Jesus and the shepherds were doing two things. They protect the sheep, they protect us, keep out unwanted animals, wild animals, keep out trouble. When we were in, we went up to Durham for Christmas, where my son lives, and we were kind of thinking hesitantly in the future about moving up there, because both our children are up in the north. So we like to have a snoop around and look at property while we're there. And we've seen this house in Chesterley Street, which is where Durham play cricket, if any of you like cricket. And we went to look at it, and we didn't realise it was a gated property. No way were they going to let the riffraff of Carol and Sean in there to have a look. We couldn't get anywhere near this wonderful area. I don't think we'd ever live there, I can tell you. It's not our type of thing. But the gated property, they weren't going to let us in. On the map, I looked on the map as though there was lots of houses and you could walk through, but you couldn't. It was gated. It kept the unwanted people out. But secondly, of course, gates open. They let people in. In Chesterley Street, when we were standing there trying to get in, a car rode up, knew the code, and the electric gates opened. He was one of the privileged few. And we're going to think about these two things in relation to Jesus. He protects us and he gives us access. Let's think first about Jesus being the gate, about protecting us. And I said we're going to look at some verses in the Psalms. Because there's a beautiful verse in Psalm 95, verse 7, that really, well, it's so close to John, verse 9. They kind of tie in together. Jesus says in John, verse 9, which is at the bottom of your screen in blue, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." We'll look at that in a minute or two. "He will come in and go out and find pasture." And Psalm 95, verse 7 The top verse says, he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Isn't that a beautiful promise? That God is our shepherd. We are the people of his pasture. He's not going to just let us go out in the desert and try and find food ourselves. He is going to give us rich pasture. As Psalm 23 says, it's just come to mind. He will make us lie down in green pastures. We are the flock under his care. As a teacher, I have taken children on school holidays, Duke of Edinburgh trips, and I'm sure many of you as a parent have sent children on summer camps, maybe on Boys Brigade, Girl Brigade camps, Scripture Union camps my children went on. And you know that as a parent, you kind of have to sign to say you are responsible. If the child is ill or in an accident, terribly upset or even badly behaved, and I'm glad to say never had to do with that one, then the parents are accountable. You promise before they go on that holiday that you will travel all the way to Sizewell or wherever it is and go and fetch that child and care for that child if necessary. And God is telling us in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am responsible. I am the one that will give you pasture. I am the one that looks after you. I have signed the form, the parental responsibility form. I am responsible for you. So next time your child or grandchild brings home a consent form from school, remember that. God has signed the form. He has promised to be responsible for us. He will provide good pasture for you. What a fantastic thought. Because shepherds, in the time of Israel, when the sheep came back at night, if we're picturing that we're the sheep and we're going to come back to this fold at night through this one entrance, you've obviously got to come in one at a time through the gate. And Jesus would have stood there, the shepherd would have stood there, called the sheep by name and let them through one at a time. And as they went through, he would have checked them over. And if in the rough and tumble of the day, and we all know about this, the rough and tumble of each day, we get hurt. Now the sheep would have been hurt by thorns and brambles. We sometimes are hurt by thorns and brambles, but usually it's deeper things than that, isn't it? And as the sheep came through and would have been hurt, the shepherd would have anointed their wounds with oil. And that's a beautiful picture of what Jesus does for us as the gate, as the good shepherd. Each day as we come to him, he anoints us with oil and heals us, anoints us with the Holy Spirit. And I think there's a picture of that. And the other thing that the shepherd did as the sheep were coming through this gate, through this gap, is he gave them water. They had been out. It's hard to imagine with the amount of rain that we've had in the last 3 months, isn't it? But they had been out in the dry Israel hot sun, and they would have been thirsty. And the shepherd, as they came through the entrance, through the gate, gave them water. And Jesus makes these promises to us. He says, I will protect you. I will give you good pasture. I will anoint you with my Holy Spirit. And I will give you life-giving water. We had the I am the water earlier on in the service. And John says that Jesus says this a couple of times. Firstly, to the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4. Whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst. The water will become a spring welling up to eternal life. And then a couple of chapters later in chapter 7, Jesus stood up on the last day of the feast at the temple and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Streams of living water will flow from within him. And by this, He meant the Holy Spirit. So Jesus alone offers us spiritual healing, and he alone satisfies our spiritual thirst. So I think that picture of the shepherd acting as the gate at night, protecting the sheep from the wild animals, anointing with oil and giving water, is a beautiful picture for us to take home of Jesus as our protector. And again, it's summed up in a psalm, which I'm just going to put briefly up on the screen. Psalm 121. I'm not going to read it to you. I'm just going to let you look at those promises and see how they relate to what Jesus is saying. What beautiful promises. Now, before we move on and look at Jesus being the open gate, the access to the Heavenly Father, let's ponder for a moment and think which image we want to take home with us today and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. I think, guys, at the back, that it sort of comes one after another, the next four or five comments. Do we need to know today that Jesus is there making a gap in the wall secure, keeping you safe? Maybe there is something in life that you feel worried about, anxious about, and Jesus is there protecting you. Maybe you need that image of Jesus filling the gap. Or maybe you need to know that he is the one who calls you by name, welcoming you into the fold, welcoming you through the gateway. He knows you. He calls you by name. Or maybe we're having a bit of a rough and tumble time out there in the world, and we need to know that Jesus is the one who anoints us with his Holy Spirit, bringing healing to our hurts, whether they're physical or mental and emotional. Or maybe we need the picture of water, that Jesus is the one after a dry day that will give us everlasting water, water that quenches our thirst spiritually. So just ponder for a moment and take one of those pictures into your mind and take it home with you and allow the Lord to speak to you through that image of Jesus being the gate, the protector. Thank you. And the next thing that the gate does, of course, is the gate doesn't just keep people out. It opens up and it lets people in. And we've had wonderful songs that have said that to us. Jesus is the gate that lets us in to the Father's presence. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. And again, Jesus is referring back in his teaching to the pictures in the Psalms, and particularly the psalm that Elaine read to us, Psalm 118, verse 19 and 20. I've got it on here, I don't need my glasses. Great. Psalm 118, what's happening is the people are going up from around the area into Jerusalem to praise God at the temple. And of course, in those days and in our own country for a long, long time, when you came to any town or any city, you came to the gate. You had to enter the city through the gate. It's the same for where I live in Bury St Edmunds. There's North Gate and West Gate and Risby Gate, and the same for Ipswich as well. You were a walled town. Okay. And as they reached the gates of Jerusalem, the psalm reminds them and reminds us that only the righteous people can enter into God's holy presence. And the psalm is looking ahead to Jesus, because we are not good enough to enter heaven. We are not good enough to enter into God's presence. But Jesus has done a great substitute. He has swapped our wrongdoing for his righteousness. So it's like we are sinful, wrongdoing people, and Jesus took that upon himself on the cross. And he is righteous, and he has given his righteousness to us. Jesus laid down his life for us, and now he has given us access to the Father. These wonderful verses. This is the gate of the Lord. Jesus, that's who it's talking about. Jesus is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. We can enter into God's presence through Jesus' righteousness. He has blessed us with that gift. Nothing that we've done, a gift. And so we say, I will give you thanks. We praise God because he has become my salvation. Again, the psalm is looking forward to Jesus. Jesus is our salvation. He is the gate. And whoever enters through him can come into the presence of the Father and be a child of God. There are many, many verses that say this in the New Testament. Romans 5, 2 is one. Through Jesus we've gained access by faith into his grace. But I put up teaching habit of 30 years. I've put up on the screen Ephesians 2:18. Through him, through Jesus, we have access to the Father by the Spirit. Whoever enters the gate will be saved. A fantastic promise. We are free from having to achieve anything. In life, so often we have to achieve all the time, don't we? But not with God. We are free from that. We can trust in what Jesus has done for us because he is the gate and he has become our salvation. So we've had two wonderful promises today. Jesus is the gate. He will protect us. And those beautiful pictures of him caring for the sheep. And Jesus is the gate. He gives us access to his heavenly Father through salvation. And John 10:10 sort of sums up what Jesus will achieve for those who accept him as Lord. The thing is, of course, you can stand outside the gate and you can look in and it looks wonderful, but in the end, Jesus is not going to push you in. We have to make that decision. We have to go through the gate ourselves. And Jesus invites us to do that. He says that he has come to give us life in all its fullness. When we go through the gate, we receive the fullness of life. Joy, peace, righteousness, hope, wonder, goodness. That does not mean that everything will be straightforward and wonderful all the time. But it means that God will be with us and provide for us. So let's just think about that promise, that beautiful promise to encourage us today. That Jesus knows us by name. You know, my pupils, I think all pupils, hate it if you don't know their name. And as teenagers, they don't like giving much away. But you can see it in their face. I try really hard to learn their names in the first couple of lessons. But I don't succeed in learning, well, you've got so many new groups. So learning, I don't know, 150 names in 1 week. And the second week, if you don't know their name, you can tell their face drops. And they think, oh, she doesn't even know me. And I try very, very hard and I would know their names after 3 or 4 weeks. But Jesus does. He knows our name. If you feel like nobody really knows what's going on inside me, I put on a mask when I come to church or when I go to work. Jesus knows. He knows you by name. He knows your deepest inner needs. And he guides us and he protects us so that no evil can get in. And as we thought about this morning, he provides us with life-giving water and with the Holy Spirit. And he has opened the gate of heaven so that we can enter and enjoy life in all its fullness. There's a lot to think about in John 10, isn't there? We've only looked at the first 10 verses. So just take one of these pictures home with you, one of these promises home with you, and go back and read John chapter 10 and think about one thing and pray about one of these things. Our brains don't work that we can remember 10 things, not unless you're amazing. But let's take one. Let's say to the God, thank you that you provide me with life-giving water, and I'm going to think and ponder and pray about that this week. Whatever it is that God is speaking to you about, let's pray about that and let's take that home and think about it some more and meditate on it. We're going to have a time of quiet now when we allow the Lord to speak to us, and then I'm going to pray. Let's be quiet. Lord, we thank you. We've learned so much and seen some amazing promises in the Psalms and in John chapter 10 from you. And we pray in this next moment of quiet that your Holy Spirit would speak to us and give us a precious promise that we need to take home and to think about some more. Lord, we thank you that you do indeed call us by name and bless us with your Spirit, that you are our protector and that you are our righteousness, giving us access to our Heavenly Father. We praise you, Lord. We pray your Holy Spirit would be at work in each one of us, helping us to understand these promises in greater depth and bring them alive to us this week, Lord. In your precious name we ask. Amen. Amen. Now, we are shy people, generally, in Britain, you know. We don't like talking about spiritual things very much. It's a bit embarrassing. But I encourage you, over coffee, just say, oh, which picture are you going to take home? Which picture are you going to think about this week? It doesn't have to be a long conversation. You can quickly change to what you watched on TV last night. It could be a 30-second conversation. I personally, I'm going to take home that picture of Jesus anointing the sheep with oil when they've had a rough and tumble in the brambles of life, okay? And every night they come in through the gap and the shepherd anoints them with oil. Just tell each other what picture you're taking home, and it will reinforce you and God will bless you as you think about it a bit more.